welcome to The Full Perspective. I'm Catherine Shee, Managing Editor of The Insurance Insider, and I'm standing in today for Charlie Thomas. Each week, some of Insider Publishing's senior staff dig into some of the week's most significant stories. And today, I'm joined by Insider Publishing's Editor-in-Chief, Adam McNestry, and Trading Risk Managing Editor, Fiona Robertson. Thanks for being with us, guys.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay, so this week, we're going to start with a scoop. And this is Convex preparing a major capital raise. So, Adam, what's the story here?
Yeah, so look, we broke early in the week that Convex is working on a major capital raise. They've started to engage with private equity houses already. And there isn't a public fundraising target, but I think we have a pretty good insight that they were around about 1.8 billion at launch in May last year. And there was always the ambition to get the balance sheet to 3 billion of equity. I think they're going to try and do it this time. And I think it's a signal of ambition, right? I mean, right from the start, Stephen Catlin and Paul Brand have been talking about this as an attempt to build the leading London market specialty business. I think they've tried to avoid calling it the biggest, but I think that is what is on the agenda for those guys. If, you know, we spoke to some people who saw the original business plan that was pitched to investors. And if you look forward to 2023, the GWP projection there was $4 billion, and it was going to be $4.5 billion at maturity. That's just a scale of what it's a good barometer of ambition. And if you think about the $3 billion that they're trying to get to, they'd have a substantially bigger balance sheet than Beazley. I think the other thing to think about this in the context of is just the scale of the opportunity right now. They've definitely got the wind at their backs. They're looking at probably 10 to 15% rate movement within their key marketplaces. They have competitors who are either pulling back, withdrawing from lines of business, looking at ways of remediating the portfolio. And brokers are finding their jobs much more difficult. And right now, they're finding their jobs difficult, and they have Convex willing to step in as a market in order to fill placements. So I think one of the things you might look for in the coming months is for Convex to step up as a lead market, having really focused on being a following market to date. So I think that's, again, another thing to watch in terms of the evolution and the journey of the business.
Okay, so we don't know the formal target for raising, but there is suggestion they could be aiming to get their prior goal of $3 billion of equity. So we're talking about $1 billion to $1.25 billion more. So do you think they can get there?
Yeah, I think they would have a pretty good shot. That would make it bigger than RenRe's fundraise, which would probably be a nice landmark for the Convex people. The advantage that they have, I would say, is that they are in the sweet spot where they're a kind of hybrid of a startup without the legacy exposure to any business really beyond this year, and yet they're already in place, they've already got huge staff, all the infrastructure ready to go, whereas some of the other businesses that have been pitching for private equity money at the moment are sort of purer startups, and that would be a little bit more of a difficult proposition to support. You've got more risk with the build-up phase. Can they get going? Can they attract staff? Can they build a franchise quickly enough to take advantage of the market conditions? And I think that Convex is in the sweet spot there.
Yeah, I guess one other thing that's important to note as well is that both Stephen Catlin and Paul Brand also put a collective $50 million of their own money in at the beginning, you know, when they were first doing their nominal raise. So there is actually alignment of interest there, which is surely going to be favourable to PE investors looking to invest. So we're going to move on now to our next topic. So this week we've had a changing of the guard at PartnerRe, with Emmanuel Clark stepping down as CEO to be replaced by Jacques Bonneau. Fiona, what could this change of leadership at PartnerRe signal?
Well, I think first off, it just signals a real landmark change for the company, because the prior CEO, Emmanuel Clark, had been there since, I think, 97. A very long time, even though he didn't officially take over until Exor bought the company. So he was an Exor nominee, I suppose. It's when you have something like that happen, that's just a big HR shift within a company. And Jacques Bonneau, though he's been involved with the company for a while, it's sort of 18 months or so, I think he's been on the boards, Adam, something like that. So you've got a turnover, and given that it's coming so quickly after another big kind of change moment for them where the proposed sale to Covéa didn't go through and fell through, you have to kind of think, well, this feels like a decision that something had to change within the firm. And indeed, I think the new CEO has said somewhat bluntly, perhaps brutally, that the performance up until now was a bit average, and he wanted to completely change that in one of Adam's interviews with him. So that's kind of interesting, I think.
So what's your take, Adam?
Well, it's been an incredibly tumultuous few months for PartnerRe, with a lot of change for the company. And I think when people look at this move, what they're primarily going to be looking for is some kind of a clue or an indication as to what Exor's intentions are with the ownership of the business. People are going to be trying to read the runes on M&A. And we've been trying to do that as well. It's actually very hard to do. You could perceive this move in different ways. It's possibly true that they will be looking at Bonneau as kind of a force of positive change, someone who can shake things up and improve the performance of the business because they want to hold it. It's possible that they want somebody who they perceive as being a safe pair of hands to shepherd the business through to a sale or to a merger. And PartnerRe isn't giving much away. Exor has made sort of very strong public statements about holding the business and it not being for sale. That's kind of pro forma for any owner of a business, really. I'm not sure you can read too much into that. But Bonneau was adamant in the call that I had with him yesterday, when we interviewed him, that there have been no discussions at board level around selling the company, and they're focused on executing and improving. The line that he had was that Exor wants to own great companies, and PartnerRe's performance has been average at best. So he's focused on improving that. I think the other thing that's really really interesting about Bonneau's appointment is that is the possibility that it could be a kind of, that it could cement some changes that we saw within PartnerRe at 1/1. So one of the things we heard from our sources in the distribution community at 1/1 is that PartnerRe was incredibly muscular, incredibly robust around some of the conversations that held with cedents. And the kind of the old PartnerRe, which was talked about as being long-term relationships, cross-cycle relationships, focused on partnership, it's in the name, that wasn't really as evident. And instead you had a kind of approach that seemed to be focused much more around the short-term projected returns on an individual contract rather than a whole relationship basis. Just a real change of tone. And I think there's certain people who looked at it and they said, that there were kind of, they noticed the similarities between a kind of the approach that they saw from PartnerRe in North America and what we'd seen from Chubb Tempest Re before, which is obviously where Bonneau has come from. And although he was there in a non-executive capacity, he did chair the underwriting committee, and he and Brian Dowd, certainly talked about by people in the market as a very forceful presence within the business. So I think one of the things people are going to be looking for now is that kind of change cemented. And we asked Bonneau about this, and he said, we want long-term relationships with clients, but our approach is going to be data-driven. So we're going to price the business and need to be priced to a return, or we aren't going to write it. So I think he was kind of balancing that idea that PartnerRe will push harder on pricing than it has before, with the idea that it's still going to be a good market. It's still going to provide high levels of service. It's still going to be very responsive to brokers and clients. So I think that the messaging is kind of a balancing act around that. But I do think people are going to be saying, does PartnerRe show a slightly flintier side to the market now than it has done historically?
Okay, so definitely one to watch. We're actually going to wrap it up there. My thanks to Adam and Fiona for joining me today, and thank you for watching. So until next time, stay well, stay safe, and I hope you'll join us soon for another episode of The Full Perspective.